Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the heartland, the only English language weekly radio show coming out of the Shamron, the heartland of Israel. It is my pleasure to share with you some of the realities here from the ground and to reach out to our very special friends around the world and to hear about issues that concern Israel, the Jewish people, Zionism, and me in general. Today we're going to be speaking with Ilana Shimon, who is a good friend of mine. She is a resident of the town of Chavat Gilad in the Shamron, which is about 20 minutes from where I am in Kfar Tapuach. She's a community organizer there, a fundraiser. She raises funds for building up this town that has not yet been recognized. The town was established 17 years ago in memory of Gilad Zar, who too was a good friend of mine. He was the chief of security of the Shamron Regional Council, and he was assassinated on the road just outside of where that town was established. The town was established in his memory on land that belongs to his father, Moshe Zar, and Moshe Zar decided that he would establish a town in memory of his son on his land. And he did so. He sent out his younger son, Itai, and his family, and many other young people came to help them establish the farm, the ranch, Chavat Gilad. To this day, the town has not been officially recognized. 1 week ago, a rabbi who lives in that town, Rabbi Raziel Sheva, was murdered on the same road that Gilad was murdered. And we, today, have completed the 7 days of mourning, the Shiva. So we're going to be speaking with Ilana Shimon, who is a good friend of the family, and she also is overseeing raising funds for the family of Rabbi Raziel. And then we're going to be going over to Sweden, and we're going to be speaking with Najar, who is a Jewish woman who immigrated from Iran to Sweden after the Islamic Revolution in Iran made life unbearable for Jewish people. And now, are we seeing similar problems in Sweden too, with the firebombing of a Jewish synagogue in Sweden? Does this anti-Semitism follow the Jewish people wherever they go? We'll hear from Najar. So stay tuned. We're going to have a very exciting show. And we're taking a short break now for commercials and for the news. So don't go away.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom, welcome to the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri on Israel News Talk Radio, a Hebrew in the heartland. Thank you for joining me. Do feel free to send in any feedback via the page on the Israel News Talk Radio or through my social media or through my webpage, ha'ivri.com. I'm glad to hear from you and thank you for all of your feedback. You can also send me a voice message, again, through any of those pages or through social media or wherever you'd like, and I will try to include it in the show. Today we're going to be meeting with Ilana Shimon, who is a community coordinator at the town of Chavat Gilad, and she is going to share with us some of what's going on there after the murder of Rabbi Raziel Shevach, who was a rabbi and teacher and a medic, a paramedic, and just a great all-around guy who was murdered 1 week ago. And Ilana is going to be telling us about the feeling in the community Chavat Gilad and what they are going through now. Today we are speaking with Ilana Shimon, who is a resident of the town Chavad Gilad, and she is a close friend of the Shevach family of Yael, who lost her husband, Rabbi Raziel, last week in a terrorist attack just outside of the community. Ilana, thank you for coming on the show.
Welcome, David. Welcome.
Ilana, tell us a little bit about the challenges of living in Chavad Gilad.
First of all, thank you for calling and talking with us, with me. It's a long, long way from the beginning till now. All the difficulties is still existing in Chavad Gilad, without water, without electricity, without roads. Step by step, we are seeing the future and solving the problem in the Chavad Gilad.
I will tell the listeners a little of my own experience that
I have known you before. You are like the father of Chavad Gilad. You help us from the beginning till now.
Do you know, Ilana, that Chavad Gilad, which is named for Gilad Zar, Hashem Imkom Damo, I knew Gilad Zar. He was a friend of mine, and he was a very special man.
And he was the chief of, say, also Maria.
He was the chief of security for the civilian communities in all of the Samaria. And he was murdered there at the same place, almost, where Rabbi Raziel was murdered 17 years ago. And the town was named for Gilad Zar. Ilana, I want to ask you about Raziel and Yael and their family. How long have they lived in Chavad Gilad?
They live here 8 years. They came to Chavad Gilad from Beirut. And from the beginning, they came here to give and to help us to build the farm. He was the rabbi. He was responsible. His was a responsibility. His was the children and all the things of refuah.
Refuah is emergency medical. He was an emergency medical, a paramedic.
Exactly. Exactly. He was a paramedic, and he take care. He was the chief of all the business of the refuah in the shul, and he was a rabbi and the mohel and the dayan and shochet. All these things, and he was only 33 years old. Young man.
Very young. This is a very, very terrible tragedy. He was also a father for six very
children.
Small children.
Very small. The biggest 10 years old, the smallest 8 months. Yes, and big tragedy for the family.
I saw a video that was shared on Facebook of the children from Chavad Gilad who were visiting with Yael, his wife, at the Shiva, and telling her about studying with Rabbi Raziel in Talmud Torah.
Nachon, yes. He was the rabbi of us, of the adults. He was very, very meaningful for the children. He was the rabbi of the children in all Shabbat and in the days. And all the citizens here ask him halacha questions. We lost our leader, a spiritual leader,
a rabbi, an aid provider. He gave, he volunteered with Magen David Adom, working with the ambulances and helping people all over.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
And you in Chavad Gilad are the real pioneers. You are living on land that belongs to Moshe Zar, and you have not yet received all of the permissions from the government to even be where you are.
Nachon. Maybe now things will change, and a lot of people and our leaders want to help us. We are praying for God. You know, we are here, and God sent us here. Abraham came here to Elon Moreh to Shechem. The grave of Joseph is here, and we are here. We have the commitment from God to establish this land, and I'm sorry. If Rabbi Raziel, I hope that he will be the last to sacrifice his life for Eretz Israel, and I hope that all the leaders will come together to help us with all our projects, even water and electricity, because it's great things to live.
Ilana, for many years I have seen how hard you personally work in order to raise funds to support the community For those very basic needs, the running water and the electricity, which has not yet been connected to the community. And I know that this is very, very hard work. You've also built community institutions with the funds from supporters around the world.
The private people are for good people, that they don't have the koach to live here, but they want to take part in Yeshuva Eretz Israel. Then they are sending us money, private people, and with this money we establish Chavat Gilad. And you, David, help us a lot to know these people and to speak with them. And now I hope that together with lots of people from all over the world that are ambassadors of us abroad and in Israel, we can continue build a mikveh of a woman in Chavat Gilad, or continue
Listeners, if there is anyone out there who would like to participate in building the community of Chavat Gilad, Ilana Shimon is the person that you should connect with, and she will describe to you exactly what the needs are of the community they are currently. She is working on raising funds, aside for a fund that she administered for the family, for Yael and the children, and people were generous and they participated with funds for that. Now the community needs to build a mikvah, a ritual bath for the women at Chavat Gilad, and you could assist them with that. Ilana, I want to ask you, I attended the funeral together with Mali, my wife. There were literally thousands of people who came from all over Israel and all over the world, and the chief rabbi of Israel was there, and ministers of the government. And we heard so many beautiful things about Rabbi Raziel Shevach, who was such a special man. Please tell us, over the week of mourning, there were also many very important visitors who came to speak with Yael and to comfort her. Who were some of those people?
A lot of our minister from the government, Ayelet Shaked, Asar Lebitchon Pnim, Gilad Ardan, Chavrei Knesset, Itan Kabel, flew from the left side of the politician, Yuli Edelstein. A lot of people came here to support and to talk with the family, and I invite all of you to come in happy days to Chavat Gilad. I will be glad to do to you a tour and to talk to you and to show you all over our little community, little beautiful community. And it's like we are living in a paradise, and I will be happy to host you all in Chavat Gilad.
Listeners, as we come to the end of this very sad week, the week of mourning we call the Shiva, and now we are turning, God willing, to happier times. And here you have a personal invitation from Ilana Shimon to come and visit Chavat Gilad and participate in settling the land. So I look forward to seeing you there, and to meet with the children at the Talmud Torah, and to help this community grow and prosper in the heart of the Shomron. Ilana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David, about all your help in the past, in the present, in the future, and thank you all, Am Israel. Thank you, and I bless you all in only good from God. Only good things from God. Happiness and healthy, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will have a lot of good and happy days in Chavat Gilad.
Amen.
Amen.
I really want to thank Ilana Shimon for taking the time to speak with us on the show and to tell us a little bit about what's going on in her town. This has been a really hectic, incredible week for Ilana, and of course for Yael and the children and the entire community. Losing Rabbi Raziel Shevach is a devastation. The community has been overwhelmed with warmth and support from around the country and around the world. And that has been really remarkable. And I'm sure it's very, very tiring having so many people coming through visiting there over the week, and I wish them only good things. Today they ended the Shiva this morning. The family and friends gathered at the grave of Rabbi Raziel in Chavat Gilad, And this evening, there's going to be a demonstration of mothers and children from friends of Yael and just people who are concerned. They're going to march in Tel Aviv. So if you're in Tel Aviv, you can go and show them your support, or just send them any messages of love and support through social media or email. You can forward the letters to me and I will get them to the people who should be seeing them. Stay tuned. We're going to be speaking with a very special woman in Sweden who is originally from Iran, and she's going to be telling us about the Jewish community in both of those places, Sweden and Iran, the challenges that they are facing, and issues with the anti-Semitism that just finds the Jews wherever we might be. So come back after the commercial break.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Two issues that we have been hearing about a lot in the news recently, two different places around the world that might seem very distant, but we're going to find a connection today: Iran and Sweden, the Jewish communities in both locations. We're going to be speaking with a woman who lived in both places, who was actually born in Iran and moved with her family to Sweden after the Islamic Revolution in the early 80s. And we're going to hear about the situation for the Jewish communities in both of those places. So stay tuned. And as always, share the show and feel free to send me any comments or questions about what went on in the show or other things that you would like me to be speaking about in the future. And share the show with your friends on social media. All right, everyone. Today, we have a very special guest from Sweden. Najar Josefi is a Jewish woman who originally came from Iran to Sweden, and she lives in Sweden. And I would like to speak with her about both countries and the current events in Sweden and in Iran. Najar, welcome onto the show.
Hi, David. How are you?
I am good, thank God. Baruch Hashem. It is good to speak with you.
Thank you, and Baruch Hashem. You can also call me Adele. That's my Jewish name. Nagar is my Parsim name, which my parents gave me when we lived in Iran. We came to Sweden when I was 8 years old, and that was 1984, actually. June 1984, we arrived to Sweden, Uppsala.
And you've lived in Sweden since then, is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I'm 41 years old, so I've been here for a while, you can say.
And you are also a writer. You once interviewed me for a book you were writing about Israel.
I am indeed. My book changed a lot, and life changed a lot. You know, I became a mother, and my book is actually right now more about Sweden. Also, I write about Iran, my memories from Iran, but I also write about Israel. So it's about three countries, Iran, Sweden, Israel, and I'm moving between these countries in my book. Nowadays, I can't go to Iran, so that's a pity, but that's what life is. You got to accept it.
So I think that your book will be unique, speaking about these three countries and writing. Will the book be published in Persian?
Maybe, hopefully. I don't know. But it will be in Swedish. And yes, I think I will actually give my readers a unique perspective.
I'm sure that it will be a unique perspective. Najar or Nadelle, Adele, I would like to hear some insight from you. Being a person a member of a family who actually fled from Iran after the Islamic Revolution. Was it after or before? After.
It was after. Yeah, it was after because the Islamic Revolution, 1979, and we left 84.
So at that time, at the time of the Islamic Revolution, there was a very large Jewish community in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about the Jewish community in Iran up until the revolution?
Yeah, the Jewish community was, I think they were around, the numbers are not really, you know, sure. But they say that it's around 150,000 Jews in Iran. And I think today it's like 10,000 left. The Jews had very good life in Iran during the Shah era. Some of them were wealthy and middle class, and people who had a short, like the Jewish minority, had a good relations with Israel. I remember my dad said that he used to work with the Israelis who came from Israel. The kibbutzim people came to Iran, and they worked together. But when the revolution came, it was really hard for the Jews, and they started to see what was happening. They closed Jewish schools. They harassed Jews. They started a tag, and the synagogues wrote slogans, you know, about the Jews controlling, you know, the world. Jews, they liked Shah, and the Shah were very generous to the Jews, you know. He gave a lot of support for, like, the Jewish institutions and the cultural institutions, and also the synagogues and things like that. So when he was gone, the Jews started to move, and the first person actually they executed was a Jew, and he was a philanthropist and a wealthy Jewish man who partly lived in America, but he always gave his support to his country, Iran, and he traveled back and forth to Iran, America, and his relatives and friends told him, his name was Habib Elghanian, and his relatives and friends told him not to come back when the revolution started. He said, I really want to go back and support my country, and he went back, and they took him to Evin prison, and they execute him. They always execute people in the morning, the first stuff in morning prayer. And when they killed him, he said, I want my kippah and my talit, and he said the Shema Israel, and they execute him. He was the first one. And all the non-Jewish people, I mean, the middle class and educated people, knows who he is, actually. Right. So it's he was a very known person. And after that, David, after that, people, the Jews got really afraid, and they started to pack their things. And the one who were upper middle class you know, the wealthy ones, they went to America because they could invest, and they had their families there, some relatives there. But the ones who are like simple middle class families, or the one under, they moved to Israel.
I think that many people today, because of the hostility between Israel and Iran, and between Iran and the West, many people might not be aware or forget that before the Islamic Revolution in 1979, there were very good relations between Israel and Iran. You mentioned the Israelis who work in Iran, who your father knew and worked with. There were very, very good relations and joint projects of development in both countries. All of that has become a very distant history that people already forget.
Yeah, it's a big tragic, actually. But I mean, when I My parents' friends who are non-Jewish Iranians here in Sweden, they used to travel to Israel. You know, they had really good doctors in Israel. And one of my mom's friends told me that she had her eye surgery in Tel Aviv. So they rented an apartment by the beach in Tel Aviv and stayed there for 2 months, you know. So people, like, traveled back and forth between Israel and Iran. And Israel, it was Tel Aviv was such a popular city, like with the beach and restaurants, and so it was like it was somewhere they could go for vacation. And it's a tragic loss. What happened?
Your own family, your parents, came to Sweden in did you say in 1981?
Four.
1984. So it was only five years
during after. During the Iran and Iraq war. We got here. We came here for it was not meant to be that we stay here. We came here for a month to see my dad's brother, my uncle, who came here during the 60s. And he happened to stay here because he met this Swedish woman and he stayed here. So we came here to see them. And during the time we were here, June 1984, the war between Saddam and Iran escalated. So Saddam started to bomb a lot. And so and everybody told us, don't go back because it's too dangerous. And my brother would probably go into the army or something because he was in that age. So they gave us asylum here after like 2-3 weeks. And we're supposed to move to America or to Canada. That was the plan. So we didn't go back. That was the story.
You just came for a holiday and then you decided to stay and not go back.
Yep.
And so you must have left everything behind.
We did, actually. And we came here, David. We came here during the summer. It's so light and bright here. The sun never goes down, you know, midsummer sun and everything. So we thought, wow, it's so beautiful. And the winter came. It was like dark from November till April. So we were like so shocked.
So now you're in the middle of that very long winter.
Horrible,
night.
Yeah.
So now your family relocated to Sweden. You were actually, you fled from Iran.
Yeah.
And you received asylum. So you could say that you were refugees. And
yeah, we were refugees here, and it was really easy for us to stay here. And it was not any problems like today for refugees to stay in Europe. But it was a completely another situation. It was not a lot of Iranians here. We were among the first one who came here. 1989, people started to come from Iran to Sweden.
Everyone, stay tuned. Don't go away. We're taking a short commercial break, and we will be right back with Najar Adel, who's going to tell us more about the Jewish community in Iran.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
And now I want to ask you, we're 30 years later, you've already become a permanent in Sweden. And you're hearing in the news, I really wanted to speak with you about what's going on in Iran, but also what's going on regarding the Jewish community in Sweden. We're hearing some very disturbing reports. And I chatted with you a few days ago. You told me something that your mother said about the situation. Do you remember what you said?
What happened in Gothenburg for a month ago or over a month ago now, I think, throw the Molotov cocktail into Gothenburg synagogue when they had the Hanukkah party. And the news came, and my mother said that the first thing she said was, everywhere we go, they come after us. We can never get rid of them. That's what she said. And it's very sad.
It is sad, very sad. It's horrible. It's tragic. And it's such words of wisdom from a woman who has experienced this on her own flesh. Yeah. She left everything behind in her birth country in Iran because of the Islamic Revolution and because life became so unbearable for Jewish people. And she came to Sweden and she's lived there for over 30 years. And now she sees that these anti-Semites are firebombing the local synagogue. That's really very, very disturbing.
My mother, when she sort of left Iran because a lot of the horrible experience in Iran, all of us, my family had a very tragic losses in Iran and what they did to us, how harassed us. I mean, even David, in the last minute in the airport in Iran, June 1984, they harassed us. At the last minute, I'm telling you, they throw out our things from the suitcase, you know, our my mud underwears on the floor. They told us things, you know, they just used this last situation to harass us. So when she see things like this, my mother got so scared and she was so traumatized. So she stopped telling people about our background, and still she's afraid. You know, when she sees me, you know, giving my son Shabbat, you know, involving him in the Jewish activities with the children, or when I tell him that he's gonna start Jewish school here, she's so terrified. She says that don't be so open about it, because they're gonna hurt you. They're gonna do something. So for my mom, it's she had so many bad experiences. But me, the more she becomes like that, the more I get Jewish. You know what I'm saying? I get so defensive. So for me, it's like going the other way, fully other way.
It seems is a comment that they define us. If we do not define ourselves as Jews, then the goyim come and they remind us, like your mother said, wherever we go, they come after us. That's really so terrible.
For me, it's in Sweden, you know, they talk about, they have seminars, and every year, 27th of January is the Holocaust Memorial Day. They have, I think it's a European one. They have, like, you know, lighting candles, writing articles in every newspaper. So it's a lot about anti-Semitism in the papers, in the news, and you can read it. It's coming, and new books are coming, you know, publishing houses are releasing new books about Holocaust and everything. But it's, and now this time, after this horrible incident in the Gothenburg synagogue, now the politicians are talking about who are spreading this anti-Semitism? Who are hurting the Jews in Sweden? And for the first time, Stefan Löfven opened his mouth and said it's the minorities from the Arab countries. You know, the Jews in Sweden, David, they have two enemies. It's new Nazi groups and some minorities from the Arab country, as you've been reading about Malmö, and you know it's famous everywhere now. So we are like jammed and pressed from two sides, two enemies.
Yes,
now politicians are starting to talk about who is responsible for these actions.
We are always find ourselves in between both sides, and getting the blame and the hate from both the white supremacists and from the Muslim immigrants.
Yeah.
Aden, can you share with us a little bit? I want to go back over to Iran and to the current events. I know that you're following on the media like the rest of us, but you have some, I think, more personal experience and knowledge Can you tell us about what's going on over the past days? Is it already 2 weeks of unrest in different cities in Iran?
What's going on is that, I mean, you remember this green wave for like 10 years ago? It's different that because that was like an academic movement, you know, students and well-educated people who went out in the streets. This time, it's not only them. This time, the demonstration started with the working class, people who actually are really poor and starting to get very hungry. And, you know, when you get hungry, you get really mad. I get, at least. So these people are, it's the working class people, not educated always. But I think their protests inspired other groups, so they joined them. And also you can hear the slogans, if you compare it with the slogans 10 years ago, it was not anti-Islam or anti-Khamenei, or, you know, this time it's anti. And the slogans are full of, like, bad words, you know, about Khamenei and the religious leaders and how people actually are sick of Islam and what they're putting them through. And also, I think I know that like for a year ago, the demonstrations actually started, but they were really small, so there were nobody paying attention to them. It was actually people who invested money in different funds in banks, and their money were gone. They didn't get anything back. So this is how people started to lose money. So it was actually a protest against these banks in Iran who stole their money. And the people got more and more poor, and also the price of food got higher, and they couldn't afford to eat, actually. So this is a working class protest.
Would you say that poverty is very common in Iran today? Are people really
hungry? It is. I mean, I spoke to a man yesterday who fell and he broke his ribs. And he told me that when you break your ribs, it's very painful. So you can't barely breathe. And he told me that they couldn't give him medication because it's not enough with good medication in Iran. And so he was sitting there and with this pain, you know. And if you're in Sweden or in Israel or other countries, they will give you some sort of morphine or something to ease your pain. But you can't get it really over there. It's the poverty is getting, and then the class differences are really high. I mean, you can see really, really rich people who goes to Paris and shop, and, you know, who goes to America and back and forth here and there. But and then you can see these regular poor people. So I think this protest, it will continue. Maybe not like as intense as it's been, but it will come back. Because, I mean, this is it can't go on like that.
I've also heard reports that the drug abuse is a very great problem.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of, you know, from Afghanistan, opium. But that's been very big in Iran. It started to come, actually. I mean, opium, it was not well spread as it is today, when we live there. But, I mean, there were people who used opium because it's always been sort of big in Iran. But now, since 90s, a lot of young people started to use opium, and drug abuse is really high. And also, they drink a lot, too, I heard. So I think it's a way to, I mean, young people, they're unhappy, I guess. That's how they, that's how they live now. It's a way to put up with it.
Adele, what can you tell us about the Jews who have remained in Iran today? That you figure that there are about 10,000 Jews left in Iran. How are they getting by?
I think I think the young Jews, they will move to Israel. They don't want to stay there. They move to America or they move to Israel. I think a lot of them will move to Israel. But the ones who stay are the old ones. The Jewish community in Iran is very conservative, like the Parsim always been. They hold on to their traditions and to their religion. They're not like Orthodox, but they're religious and they are very conservative. And it's a small community, and you know, they're the one they don't harass them because they're Jews, but they are a troll. Of course they are. You don't see Jews out during this protest in any demonstrations. The Jewish community, they don't talk about politics because they are afraid. They have bad experience, so they go to their synagogues in Shabbat, and you know, they're doing their things, but they keep a very low profile. That's what they do.
Najar Josefi Adel, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of this insight about the situation for the Jewish community both in Sweden.
You're welcome.
And in Iran.
I hope that you enjoyed. Come back next week for another Hebrew in the Heartland.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm from Stanton, California, and I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Andy from Augsburg, Germany, living now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. When I want to get the news from Israel, I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I am Leo Yuwono from Indonesia, and I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Carlton Letala from Zimbabwe, and I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
My name is Atira.
And I'm Bela Singer from Efrat, Israel, and we love listening to Israel News Talk Radio for the best information on Israel and the Jewish nation.
Hello, this is Mudaz Aram, leader of the Jordanian Opposition Coalition from Jordan. As an Arab, I enjoy listening to Israel News Talk Radio for the most updated news about Israel and to follow peace with our friendly neighbors.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.